Mr. Disney, who's on assignment in New Jersey.
He's on vacation. He's on location.
No, actually,
I'm sorry.
He's gonna take a vacation next week. And as a programming note, we are taking a hiatus from the air next Saturday. We will not be on at all. I believe there's going to be a Sun special or something to fill in for us, but we have some scheduling conflicts.
Yes.
So anyway, get your questions in this week while you can, right? So we wanted to bring to light a lot of the new things that are out there for you home technology aficionados. And really, anymore, you have a million remote controls. You have MP3 players. You have some kind of TiVo or DVR of some sort. You have a cable box. You think about how much the average person has on in electronics across all over the, you know, just all over the home. And wouldn't it be nice if some of these things could, like, talk
to each
other? Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that there's some of the common functions that they perform could be melded. Then you start to see some of that. You got cable companies trying to deliver digital music.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be great if, instead of playing through your home stereo system, the digital music, you could easily tell your TV to play, or your home surround sound system, mm-hmm. to play your MP3 files out of your computer.
That would be neat.
Yeah, so there are a lot of companies that are starting to provide products that do that. Or there are ways you can, if you have the luxury of actually building your house with all of this in mind, you can actually put these crazy wires all over the place so that when you decide, hey, I want to add this device or this product or this, the wire is there, and it's real simple.
That's cool.
In fact, this week's column, if you are a subscriber to our newsletter, has some basic recommendations on the types of cables, minimum types of cables, that you should install in your home if you have that luxury. A lot of, if you're buying a track home, a lot of home builders are saying, no, you can't. It's a warranty issue, contractors, all this other stuff. But if you're doing a custom-built home, you probably still don't want to do it yourself. I don't know that any of this stuff is do-it-yourself or something. Right. The biggest thing that I can tell you from that column is, here are the things that you can know about to make sure the contractors are doing a good job. But I don't recommend you try to figure this out yourself. You need to hire a professional.
Right, it's a professional job.
But you can put these wires everywhere, and then down the road, when this new stuff that doesn't exist yet comes around, most of it tries to use existing what's called structured wiring, and you may be in decent shape there. So,
yeah.
Check it out at datadoctors.com. Lots of cool things. Definitely, first thing you want to do so that you get everything into perspective, click on the last link, the videos of the high-tech homes of the future. It'll take you to a Microsoft website that's got a bunch of videos, including the very first one that shows some really cool stuff about home automations. Let's go to the phones and see if we can help Todd. Todd, you're first up on the computer corner. What's on your mind today?
Hey, you guys remember me, the Dell Desperation. You remember that?
Disillusioned?
Yeah, right, that too.
Disillusioned in Dell, or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
So what, you were trying to move files from one place to another, or you changed drive letters or something or other?
What I had done is it's like my mom always used to say, life is like opening an attachment. You never know what you're going to get.
Uh-oh.
Nice.
So you opened something that wasn't finger-licking good?
And it just so happens I had my Symantec turned off because I was doing something. I forgot to turn it back on, so I got something from a website or something. And
you fell for it.
Yeah.
I ended up backing up the files that I could get that were important. Everything else, I just wiped out the hard drive and started over. So I thought, let's do the file transfer wizard and burn it on like a couple of DVDs, so they're 4.7 gigs, so I formatted the disks and put it in that drive and started the transfer wizard, and it came up. And
now you're trying to just let's get everybody up on the same page as you.
Yeah.
You tried to use this tool that Microsoft came out with that says, here, we'll help you easily transfer all your critical files from one computer to another.
Yeah, but I think my transfer wizard has been outsourced to Pakistan or somewhere, because what I want to do is I want to just back up my files and settings so that if it were to crash in the future or something would happen, I don't have to go through this whole process of finding the files and everything. Everything's already on the disk. You just wipe everything out, reload Windows 2000 Experimental, and then...
Yeah, the thing is, have you ever actually tried to go through that from start to finish?
Yeah, I did. So what I did was I formatted the disk, and the wizard came up and it burned the first disk, no problem.
Yes.
And then it says, audio going to need another disk. Please put in another disk. So I put another disk in, close the drive, and hit retry, and it comes back. I'm sorry, I don't recognize what you're trying to do. And it just will not burn the second disk. It burns the first one fine, but it doesn't burn the second one.
Yeah, and the part I was talking about is, okay, let's say you even burned these.
Right.
Have you ever gone through the process of what your utopian view of this thing, of how it works for you, that in a major problem?
I've never tried to re...
This is where we want to cut this conversation short, because even if we get you to get that second burnt CD, I think you're going to be real disappointed in the results.
Yeah.
Wasting the time, right?
Well, it's not quite everything the way you think in your mind it's going to be.
Wizard's lying to me.
It's better. No, it's better than nothing. It's just that I don't think they managed your expectations very well.
Yeah.
And that's something we're real good at. So we'll tell you how it is, and then you can decide which way you want to go.
Well, that's why I called you guys.
Well, appreciate it. Now, the best thing you can do, if you want to create an image of your system so that you don't have to reinstall Windows, then, you know, recreate all your printer settings and all your profiles and your favorites and all that stuff. And the other thing is, there are probably little nooks and crannies all over your computer where you have stuff that's important to you that it won't even know it exists.
Okay.
And that's the biggest problem. To that end, if you're very technical, you can use something like Ghost on a manual basis and image your primary drive either to CDs or some other format like that. Or what I like to do, and this is a product that we came out with because we just didn't see anything out there that was doing a great job for consumers. We'd like to have something attached that just automatically on a periodic basis just makes an exact image of your hard drive for you.
Right, right.
That way... Because the only way to get that perfect image back and restored if you have a catastrophic failure,
right,
is if you're actually getting an entire image. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
So these other programs that say, "Well, we'll get your critical stuff, your My Documents," that's all well and good, but it's not necessarily going to get you where you want to go because you still have to reinstall all your applications and do all those things. And a lot of those settings still don't make it through.
Right, so then I should take my 1.5 million floppy disk back to the store?
Yeah, you might you might want to see if they'll give you an exchange for something. So, if you're real good at it, you can manually kind of configure a bunch of external devices. You get a good high-speed external hard drive with some software that allows you to image your system. We happen to put all that together in a automatic system because most of our customers are not very technical. We call it a data vault. It's got the software, it's got the recovery CD, it's got everything you need so that it's basically start to finish.
Right.
So if you can replicate that with your knowledge, and if you want to use DVDs or whatever, what we try to do is remove all the complications. So I don't know if you know enough about the parts. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
If you have a drive imaging program, you can use that with your DVD or something like that. That's what I would suggest you do.
Right.
So that's everything all together.
Yeah, well, I put another drive in there, but, I haven't really got much time to play with this stuff, so...
Well, you can also physically put a second hard drive in.
Well, I did that, yeah.
Okay, that basically you can use mirroring.
Right.
So that both drives are always doing the same thing. Or you can have it standing off to the side and install a program like Ghost or something like that and just have it manually... You would manually ghost your drive over, periodically.
Right.
So it's really... There's a million different options for you, but for those of you... I'm sorry?
I got two computers. I use one for surfing the... Internet, I don't care what happens to it.
Right.
I got another one that has all my important, business files and all the stuff on it that I don't even.
Well, it's
computers never goes back and forth.
Think of it this way: it's like having insurance on your house,
right?
And if it burns down, they'll pay to put all that stuff back.
Right.
But it's never the same. What if you could actually duplicate your house in just to the nth degree, so that the dust on the TV and. and the crumbs in the couch, they're all there. And when you had a fire, you could I want the house the way it was, and bing, it's exactly with the crumbs and the dust. Now, that's what these imaging programs allow you to do. So that's why we recommend that for most people that are non-technical.
Yeah. Okay. See, you guys are talking about this home automation stuff, and what I did in my house, I got about, 15 miles of cable in my house.
Yeah.
But these cans, these recessed enclosures go between the studs?
Yes.
Yeah, there's not enough room in those for even an average house. So what I did was I just cut the studs open in a wall, and it happened to be a block wall, and I just liquid nailed a big piece of 3/4-inch plywood and used the entire wall cavity between two studs, and then just had a door made, like a cabinet door over the face of it, and I've got, 2 feet wide and 6 feet high enclosure to put all the stuff in.
So you're talking about like the equipment closet for all of the wires to come together, like your primary point?
Exactly. Yeah.
I was going to say, because I don't think I'd recommend people start to cut their studs out.
No, I didn't cut the studs out, but I I used to be in insurance restoration work, so I mean, I'm not like the average, you know.
Yeah, you know, you know how it works in there.
Honey, is this a bearing stud?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Hey, honey, what happened to the left side of the house? Well, the guys on the radio said cut out all the studs so I can put my wires in.
Yeah, he said, hold on, cut the gas line in half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to go ahead and give out your home number now that we've completely screwed up a lot of homes?
Yeah, really.
Hey, Todd, yeah. Thanks a lot. Good luck with that.
All right, thanks, guys.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Todd understood how we do this.
Yeah.
Have a little fun with it. Maybe educate. It is Ken Colburn, Adam Maris, and Matt Bauer here, Data Doctors, here to help you with your technology questions. We'll be back right after this.
So, Kristen, how was Esther's baby shower?